So with it being Memorial Day weekend, freedom is more than likely on your mind. We've talked about, we've prayed for, we have honored those that have sacrificed much to give us that freedom. And so we're going to explore in God's Word, 1 Peter chapter 2, open your Bibles there if you got one. We're going to explore what that freedom could and should look like for us. And to maybe help us get there, think back to a time in your life where you first tasted a little bit of freedom. If you were in school this past semester, you're experiencing that right now, right? You've been doing school and projects and tests and assignments, and now you're tasting a little bit of freedom for the summer. If you were a teacher or a principal or an administrator, you're tasting maybe a different kind of level. You're tasting a little bit of freedom now for the summer. If you finish a work project, a deadline, if you pay off a debt, there's all of these scenarios in life where you experience or you taste or you feel a sense of freedom that you didn't have before that very moment. For me, the tangible expression of this, I can still remember it like it was yesterday, was when I turned 16 and got my driver's license. You probably felt that freedom at some point in your life if you're over 16 as well. You're not bound by where your parents want to go anymore. You can sort of go and do what you want to do. You can move around a little bit more freely. It's a beautiful thing. And so when I turned 16, I tasted that freedom. And the first weekend that I had my driver's license, I went to my parents and sort of was trying to make sure that I did it all right, established the ground rules. And I said, what time do I need to be home tonight? And my parents, I'll never understand this. They looked at me, this 16-year-old kid, and they said, oh, don't worry about a curfew. We trust you. And I was like, sorry? And they said, because all my friends have curfews, and they're like, don't worry about it. We trust you. It's fine. Just go do whatever, and we'll see you later on tonight when you get home. And so that's what I did. I went and did whatever I wanted, and then I came home about 4 o'clock the next morning, and my dad was sitting there on the couch, and you can imagine how that conversation went, right? He was probably infinitely more calm than I would have been in that scenario. I didn't have a cell phone, and so it was this whole big thing. I get home, right, exploring that freedom, and I had a conversation. You know what that conversation resulted in? A loss of freedom, right? I had it, and I completely blew it. I had that freedom, and I completely wasted it. The freedom was gone. I had a curfew from that point forward in my home, right? Because I proved to them that I could not handle the freedom that I had. Here's my point. This is where I'm going this morning. As people that live in the United States, we've got an unbelievable amount of freedom, okay? Just know that. This is a different place in the world. We have an unbelievable amount of freedom, but on a completely different level. Right, as followers of Jesus Christ, well, we have this eternal freedom. We have this never-ending freedom because of what Jesus has done for us that goes deeper and further than anything this country or this world could ever hope to offer us. My question, and you can write it down at the top of your page if you're taking notes, is simply this, is what are you doing with your freedom? Think about that for a minute this morning. What are you doing with the freedom that God has given you? Are you using it? Are you doing the right things with it? We try to be good stewards of our time. We try to be good stewards of our money. We try to be good stewards of our influence and our job. But we try to be good stewards of a lot of things that are there in our life. The question this morning is, are you using the freedom that God has given you the way that God has called you to use it? You've got your Bible open to 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 16 with me. God's word speaks directly to it. It says this, live as people who are free. It's a great thing. Not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but instead living as a servant of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Live as people who are free. That is a great thing. That phrase connects with me. I hope that it connects with you. I believe that it does, because all of us in our heart, we have this longing, we have this desire, we have this urge to be free, to do what we want to do, to not be bound by anything else in our lives. This morning, our goal is to understand that freedom so that we can live in it. The verses that we read this morning, they're in the middle of a letter written by Peter to a group of believers. And in this letter, he's trying to teach these guys, these Christians, how to live in a world that is not focused on spiritual things, that is not focused on eternal things. He's trying to teach this collection of believers how to live in a world that's full of evil, that's full of suffering, that is full of heartbreak, that is full of anger. And I think that we still live in that same world. I think that we can relate to what the emotions that the believers in the first century were experiencing. And I think that we can also relate to the temptations that they were experiencing. See, many of those believers there in the first century, they knew that the easier thing to them would be to just sort of go with the flow. They knew that the easier thing for them would be to not make waves, to just sort of go the direction that the world would have them go. But that's not the way of Jesus. You know, if you're a Christian this morning, if you've trusted in Christ, that he's called us out, that he's called us to live holy, that he's called us to live blameless lives before him that would point other people to the hope that we have in him. If you flipped back one chapter and started at 1 Peter chapter 1, you'd see that we're continually pointed to the hope that we have in Jesus, and we're told and commanded to live in a way that points other people to the hope that we have in Jesus so that they could experience the hope that only Jesus can give. That's the context we find these verses in this morning. Living in the world with hope and holiness. And as we study this, I want to bring one more thing into view. Remember, we're looking at the phrase freedom this morning, and just know. And I know that I'm not the only one. I know that I, and I'm sure you too, take things for granted at one time or another. That the beautiful thing is this: everything that God tells us to do in 1 Peter chapter 2, everything that God tells us to do at any point across his word this morning, we live in a place where we can do it. We live in a place where we are completely free to do whatever the Word of God is calling us to do. Think about this. You are completely free to own a Bible, to read the Bible, to study the Bible. That's not the case all over the world. 52 countries in the world. Today, in 2022, 52 countries in the world, it's illegal to own one of these. And you're going to jail if you own one of these. You're being persecuted if you own one of these. If you have pages of the Bible in your home that you can read or study, you're not free to do that. You're not free to have it on your phone. You're not free to have the Bible app, but we are. We're free, right, to study and read and know the Word of God. Not only that, we're free to do this, to gather together with other believers and to publicly worship Christ. That's not the case in a lot of places in the world. 1 in 9 Christians in the world today, not 1 in 9 people, 1 in 9 Christians in the world today live in a place where they're not allowed to do this. They are not allowed to gather and publicly worship our Lord and Savior. 1,266 churches last year were attacked because they exist in places in the world where Christianity is illegal. Not only that, and this is what we know of, I'm sure there's much more than this, 2,635, and this is in the 50 most dangerous countries for believers in the world, 2,635 people were sort of disappeared. They were detained, they were moved off, they were sent away without any kind of trial whatsoever. They did not have the freedom to worship God together with a church family. And not only that, 4,136 people lost their lives because they sought to gather in a place just like this and worship Jesus as their Lord and Savior. When you do the math on that, that's 11 believers every single day lost their lives because they sought to live out the Word of God and to gather together studying and worshiping with one another. Listen, we've got an unbelievable amount of freedom here where we live. I'm thankful for that. And my question this morning is what are you doing with the freedom that God has given you in this country? What are you doing with the freedom that God has given you in Christ? Look at verse 16 again. It says this: live as people who are free, not using your freedom for evil, but instead live as a servant of God. Our first action step, our first point from the Word of God this morning, it's a great one. It's live free, right? Number one, live free. If you're taking notes, that's an exciting statement. But let's make sure that we're clear on what we are free from. We're free from so many things. But first and foremost, we are free from sin. We are free from the guilt that comes with sin. Remember the gospel, the message of the entire Bible, page one, me and you. We were created in the image of God to know God, to be in a relationship with him. Page two of the Bible, we see that our sin, our actions separated us from a holy God, right? But we're created to know God. Sin has separated us from God. And as you continue to read the Bible and read the rest of the pages of the Bible, you see the love of God on full display to bring us back into a relationship with him by setting us free from our sin. What we know that God loves us enough to send Jesus to die in our place. And when we believe in Jesus, that sin is gone. It's wiped clean. It's erased. It's gone from our lives. We're forgiven. We don't carry that sin around anymore. Not because of what we've done, not because we've been good enough, not because we've lived a good life and God's going to look on that favorably. No. Because we've trusted in Jesus and been set free from our sin. The old is gone and the new has come. And we're free from the power of sin in our lives. If you are addicted to something, if you're struggling with something, if you've been battling a sin over and over and over again, listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. All right, sin has no power over you anymore. You've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you that can navigate that for you. Don't fight and battle sin on your own power and just by gritting your teeth and using that sheer human determination. That's not what God's called you to do. God's called you to rest in the freedom that He's given you and let the Holy Spirit be your guide as you walk through this life. And not only are you free from sin, you are free from shame. If you've done things in your past and you've sought the forgiveness of God, if He has made you new, I mean, don't carry that around with you anymore. You have been set free, and He's calling you to live free. If you're free, you are bound no longer to those things of your past. You're bound no longer to sin. And with that freedom, now we have to sort of work out how we're going to live in it. In the first century, those believers, they misunderstood their freedom. And many of those believers, that they used their freedom to do the wrong thing. I was 16, used my freedom to do the wrong thing. We see in verse 16 here that we are to use our freedom as servants of God. So as we see this and wrestle with this and think about this truth in our lives, we see that with the freedom that God has given us, we're not to run away from God, but instead we're supposed to use the freedom that God has given us from all of that junk in our life, from all of the things in the world. We're supposed to use the freedom that He's given us from those things to instead run to God. Right? That's the picture of our life. Look at the end of verse 16. Our second action step is simply this: serve God. Live free, use that freedom to serve God. And when we think about the spiritual freedom that we have because of Jesus, when we think about all of that sin that's gone, that shame that's gone, the evil of this world, as we think about that's out of our life, our response should not be, okay, I'm set. I've trusted in Christ, I've prayed a prayer, or I've walked an aisle, I'm going to heaven one day, now I can do whatever I want because the end is the same for me anyway. If you're thinking that way, you do not understand the grace of God. You do not understand what Jesus has done in your life. You do not understand what He has truly freed you from. God's word does not teach it's okay to live in sin. He does not teach that we're free to support or encourage or cover up sin. That's not it. We're called to use the freedom that we have in Jesus to run to Him, to serve Him, to make much of Him in our life. We are set free from everything, and now we choose out of this overwhelming gratitude and love that we have in our heart to serve Him. There is zero obligation involved in this. You understand? No obligation here. This is all about love. You know the difference, right? Doing something because you love it and you're excited about it, and doing something because you're obligated to do it. Has anybody else been there, or am I the only one? We've all done things out of obligation, right? When A&M first joined the SEC, football story, when A&M first joined the SEC, Johnny Manziel was our quarterback. I say our, like we're all Aggies. We can all be in the family for a minute. But Johnny Manziel was our quarterback. Don't boo me. That's okay. I had tickets to the game in Alabama. I had tickets. I was going to that game. I was so thrilled. I came home and told Chelsea, and she was super excited for me. Like, she was genuinely pumped that I had tickets to that game. And I told her about what weekend it was, and she says, oh, you're not going to that game. And I said, I can and I will go to that game. And it was a whole big thing. And she goes, no. My best friend, you know, she's getting married out in Midland that weekend. I'm in the wedding. You have to go with me. I'm not going by myself. You're going to be in Midland that weekend. I said, I'm going to be in Alabama that weekend. And then a few months later, when I was in Midland for that wedding, I was listening with headphones in the chapel of the church, getting shushed by the ladies in the back as I cheered as the Aggies were coming close to and then ultimately winning that game. That is still something that Chelsea and I talk about on a regular basis, if you can't tell. But here's the thing. I was not happy to be in Midland. Didn't want to be there. Didn't want to be at the wedding. I didn't want to be any part of that, right? But as we look in the Word of God this morning and see that we're set free by Jesus and we're called to serve Him, but that is not what this is talking about. There's no obligation involved here. When we understand the freedom that we have, when we think about and understand what we have been set free from, when we realize that the sin is removed, that the old is gone, the new has come, when we realize that we have new hearts, new creations, new purpose, new life, when we realize all of that other junk is gone and God has made us completely new, that the only response that makes sense in our heart is a response of joy and love and gratitude that leads us to a place of service before God. And when I say service before God, I simply mean making much of God and not us, making our life about God and not about us, making our life a response to the goodness of God and not about us. Does that make sense? He called us to live free, and in that verse, we see that we use our freedom now to serve God. And then there's traction that's put to it in verse 17. And I'm going to spend less time on this than I planned because I know that we're running short of time. But if you look at verse 17, there's four statements there. And those are just four action steps. If you want to serve God, do those things. They're all written right there. The first is honor everyone. 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 The person that you're thinking right now that you don't want to honor that person to. Honor everyone. That wasn't the way of the world then. It's not the way of the world now. People don't treat each other with honor. You can see it in the way they talk about one another, the way that they talk to one another, the way that they type and post online about one another. There's not a lot of honor that is shared in our culture today. As believers in Jesus who have been set free by God, seeking to serve God alone, we will be people that honor everyone. And it will make a difference in the world. People will see and know that you are different by the way that you treat and talk to and about people, your tone, your attitude, your voice. If it's one of honor, like God has called you to, you will serve Jesus in a powerful way. Honor everyone. The second action step we see in verse 17, and notice it's a stair step up. Honor is the baseline. Then it goes to love the brotherhood. So we go from honor to a place of love. The brotherhood is the church family. That word, Adelphotes in the Greek, if you're interested, it's used twice in the Bible, right here in chapter 2 and again in chapter 5. And Peter uses that word specifically to make the point that this is a family. He's talking to believers saying, these believers are your family. So to play that out here, just look around the room this morning, and when it says love the brotherhood, that's who he's talking about. It's the people that are right here right now. It's the people that aren't here that are normally here. Right? This is it. This is the brotherhood. And what Peter is saying, the things that you would do for your own family, do for your church family. The things that you would do for believer or for your own family, do for believers. Think about the lengths that you would go to for your family, to support them, to encourage them, to provide for them, to protect them, to love them, to meet their needs, that there's nothing that you wouldn't do for your own family. He's saying, make that true about the church family. And this is something that I can just, listen, we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I think that God's doing an incredible work here, but I will say that we do this really well when it comes to loving the church family. I can give example after example where we've met financial needs, we've taken care of the sick, we've taken care of one another times of grief, we've taken care of one another's kids. I can give you two examples in the past year and a half, 2 years, where members of our church family have given kidneys to other members of our church family, willing to sacrifice and do whatever it takes to take care of one another. That's what we're called to use our freedom for. Use your freedom to serve God by loving the church family. Let me just say, you cannot love the church family if you're not connected to the church family, right? Don't sort of float on the outside. Dive in, be connected, be known, be loved, and be someone that loves. That's what God calls us to do. Stair-stepping up. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, and then fear God. Right? Fear God. That is the highest level in this ladder, in this rung. We are called to, because of what he's done in our hearts, use the freedom that we have to fear God. That does not mean to be scared. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that means that we are to live in awe and reverence before God, to have a high and holy view of God. Think about who he is. Genesis 1, he's the creator of all things. Psalm 24, 1, he holds the entirety of the world and everything and everyone right there in his hands. Listen, he is over everything, above everything. So if we're gonna fear God, we're gonna look at him as holy, as set apart, as righteous, as glorious, as majestic, as bigger than all of creation. We're gonna have a high view of God. That's what it means to fear God. So use the freedom that you've got to fear God and to walk in his truth and in his ways. Fear God. Now notice, we've got the stair step, okay? Baseline is honor. That applies to everybody. Love the brotherhood. fear God. Our worship and praise is reserved for Him and for Him alone. And then the fourth and final action step goes all the way back down to the bottom rung. Look at it in your Bible, the end of verse 17. Honor the emperor. You're taking notes. Don't write that down, right? Honor your leaders. We don't have an emperor here, but we do have leaders. Peter is saying, honor your leaders. Now again, think about what he did. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and then he takes the emperor or our leaders and he puts them back down on the same level as the common person, as everybody else. For Peter, that was bold and a little bit funny. The emperors back then demanded to be worshipped. The emperors back then demanded to be treated as God, as divine beings here on earth. Peter was saying, don't worship your leaders. He was saying, we don't worship the emperor. We worship God and God alone. We're going to honor the emperor. We're going to treat him just like everybody else. So if you're looking to specific leaders, to specific political figures or governing figures in the world that we live in today to do anything in your heart, to change anything in your heart, if you're looking to them for your hope or your salvation, you're doing it wrong, right? That's reserved for God and for God alone. Right? But still show honor for the leaders that God has placed over us. Listen, Peter ultimately was killed by government leaders, right? But Peter did not love the decisions that they made all the time, but he knew that God had called him to a place of honor among them, knowing that they too were created in the image of God. So for us as believers, we are called to honor our leaders. Don't text me or email me about this. That's what the Bible says, okay? Because I know some of you are thinking, I can't honor these people. I can't honor those that are over us. And you know why you can't? Or why it's hard to? It's because they're just like us. It's because they're not perfect. It's because they make mistakes. Listen, we all do, but we're called to honor them. We live in a world today, a climate today, where it is rare that people show honor to our leaders. There's a lot of posts, a lot of conversation that is dishonoring, that is ungodly. And let me just say, even in the moments where you do not agree with our leaders, if we are living out the word of God, if we're using the freedom we have in Christ to show them honor, I'm telling you right now that you will stand out, that people will see and hear your tone and your attitude, and they will know there is something different about you, and that will open up the door for you to share the gospel and for you to make much of God. But if you fail to do that and you do not show honor to our leaders, and let me just say that you will be like everybody else in the crazy world that we live in, and God will get no honor out of those conversations that you've got, right? Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, our worship, our hope, our life, our salvation, all of that, may that rest in God, and then, just like we honor everyone else, honor the leaders that God has placed over us, and God will use that to do incredible things in and around those that he has placed in our lives. Honor our leaders. Look back at verse 16. Live as people who are free. Don't use your freedom for evil. Use your freedom to serve God. How? Honor, love, and fear. Fearing God. Right? That's how he has called us to live in the world that we exist in today. Freedom's a big concept. It's a massive concept, something that we all crave, something that we all desire. 16-year-old Stephen learned a lesson. Freedom comes with incredible responsibility. You can do great things with your freedom, or you can completely waste it. My prayer is that we would understand that Jesus has set us free, that Jesus has removed the sin that keeps us from knowing God. Jesus has removed the power of sin in our lives, and now we can live in the joy that comes from knowing him. And my prayer is that we'd use that freedom, that we would use that knowledge to run towards him in every area of our lives, making much of the freedom that he's given. Would you pray with me? I want to encourage you to bow your head this morning, and I want to ask you a couple of questions. It's just as sort of we think through those verses. The God's word says, live as people who are free. My first question for you is simply this, is are you free? Are you set free from the sin that separates you from God? You can't be free by trying to be a good person. You can't be free by just doing your best and trying to be kind to everyone. I mean, that's not it. That's all dependent on you. That the freedom that we have in Christ is fully dependent on him. If you've never, you saw Damien baptized earlier, maybe it's because he placed his faith and trust in Jesus to set him free, to forgive him of his sins. If you've never trusted in Jesus to forgive you of your sin this morning, that's why God has you here today. Do not leave here without trusting in Jesus Christ alone for the freedom that only he can give. Make sure that he sets you free today. You're going to have a chance to talk and pray with someone as soon as the service ends, if you know that God is calling you to do that. If you have been set free by God, my question for you is this, is what are you doing with it? What are you doing with the freedom that God has given you? Are you using that freedom to do your own thing? Or are you using that freedom to do what he's called us to, just to serve him in all things? I want to encourage you this morning to feel the joy that comes with the freedom that we have in Christ, and the joy that comes with living this out and living as a servant of God, not an obligation thing at all, but an understanding of what he's done for us, and then a response of love and of gratitude. Live free and serve God. Let that be the pattern of our lives. Jesus, we are grateful for the freedom that we have in you. God, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that has never experienced that freedom, that has never had that moment where they've placed their faith and trust in you, God, I pray that today is the day that they would do just that. For those of us that have, Lord, God, help us to live as people who are free. We're not bound to the evil of this world, to the sin of this world. We're not bound to the hopelessness of this world. God, we've been set free. We can live in joy, and we can serve you, God, with all that we have. Lord, help us to do just that, to run towards you with our freedom all the days of our life. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Live as people who are free.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.